This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things each week to make you say the thing. That's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden.
Live. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hello, yes. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm the only one who's truly still in Thanksgiving land, I think.
Yeah.
Truly in my parents' attic, real yeah. Thanksgiving hours. Watched about 25 episodes of Forensic Files, just yep. ripping them out.
Experiencing the humiliation of having to tell your parents that you're about to record a podcast on their property.
Oh, yeah. They're having guests over, so... Hopefully it's not too loud, so I don't have to be like, guys, shut up. I'm trying to record.
Sorry, Eli can't say hi. He's doing his podcast. Yeah. They just leave immediately.
It's a weird thing yeah. to be embarrassed about 4 years into it, but I do feel I like some. You get a little like, ugh, like, you know.
And yeah. it's like, it's people listen to it. Like, right. it's not, it shouldn't be embarrassing. It's like
it's doing
people
fine.
We're like doing it. Yeah. We make money from it. Right. But
I don't
I'm
think
still,
I'm embarrassed
time...
by it too much anymore. Most people, I don't interact with too many people who don't know about it, I think, at this point.
Yeah. I just, mm-hmm. I think I just have like a, and I don't have any good reason for it, but it's like a visceral anti-reaction to talking about anything on the computer in it to people. Like, I don't, it, which is
I can
stupid.
See that.
But like my dad will be like, how's it going? How's the show going or whatever, you know, and I'm just like, yep, it's fine. It's fine. What else? What else is going on? You know?
Yeah. I feel like I'm weird about talking about anything comedy related with my parents. It just like, it makes me uncomfortable. Like I don't want them to know a lot about it without me telling them, but also I'm annoyed if I have to tell them things, you know what I mean? Like explaining the biz or whatever. It's like, it would be worse if you knew this stuff, but also I don't want to talk about it. You know,
I feel like it's just the like the old kind of like line of conversation that's like, how's work? Like it just didn't transfer to our generation at all. So it's like something that my parents are always like, well, how's work? What's, you know, what's going on? And I'm just like, I don't talk about this with anybody. I don't know. I think people just hate their hate jobs so much now that nobody wants like, fine. It's fine. That's
yeah,
when I get
I've,
real
I've
teenagery
people-
with it.
I've known people for years that I consider very good friends, and I have no idea what they do for work. I don't think yeah. that is... I don't think prior generations had that. I feel like everybody knew, you know? And, like, that's how you would meet them.
It's not as much of your identity anymore. And plus, most yeah. people have, like, three jobs, so it's like, which one? Which one right. do you want to talk about?
But yeah. Well, though, personally, my identity is solidly capital P podcaster, so...
Oh, know. Man.
But yeah, I just had to record. That. I recorded "Lie, Cheat, and Steal" in my childhood bedroom on Friday, so I feel your pain. It's a little weird. But,
it is.
You're doing great.
You know, it's like as it goes on, it's like, okay, this is very much a desk for a child. It's like trying to balance everything. It's like it feels like I'm trying to record a podcast in one of those desks from school where it's attached to the chair and it's like got that like smooth thing to it, but.
Is this like your old desk, like when you were a kid?
Oh yeah, this is where I have my setup. I mean, it's I'm not going to go into the exact layout of my house and where I am, but yeah, this is like my like computer desk.
Where in the
we'll
house
put some
are you
schematics
normally
on
sitting?
The Patreon.
So if somebody were to set up like perch somewhere, I wanted to shoot, you know, where would the best way? You know, where would they?
Where
want?
Would they be? Yeah.
They'd have to, dude, yeah, right through the attic window. That would
yeah,
be.
If somebody had the gun from Eraser that is heat-seeking and sees through things, like the X-ray gun, the rail gun, where would they, yeah.
The smart gun. They'd have
really
to ask
it,
one
though,
of our neighbors to get into their, the only other high points around here. Yeah, but, you know, it's good. Just
have a nice Thanksgiving. Anything exciting happen for either of you over this holiday?
exciting. No, but it was a good Thanksgiving, you know. People ca- like it was an actual like decent sized one again, which hadn't been for a while. And all of my my cousin's kids are like now developing interests, and luckily each one of them has like chosen a different thing that I understand to get into. So like one of them likes Magic the Gathering, one of them likes video games, and then third one was like, I'm gonna go shopping in Georgetown. And I was like, I'm not gonna do that with you, but I used to do that all the time. I'm not gonna
do that.
Yeah. I'm not gonna go shepherd a bunch of young women around Georgetown to different
shopping establishments.
No.
You go to Commander Salamander or whatever.
Oh, hell yeah.
What's
some,
that?
It's like a, I mean, it's not like Hot Topic, but it's like a, I mean, it's not like a real punk store, but it's like a store that sells, it's basically like a lot of like chain wallet adjacent kind of gear.
Do they sell in Georgetown? Do they sell like anything besides clothing and accessories, or just clothing and accessories?
Pretty much just clothing and accessories. It's not as much, it's not like a Hot Topic either. They don't have like a lot of posters and stuff from what I remember. It's weird.
That's because like the New England version of Hot Topic was Newbury Comics. I don't know if you guys ever went to
I've heard of that, I think.
No.
Yeah, that was like, I mean, it was a little more like media focused. Like it had albums and comics and stuff like that. But it was also like where you would go to buy your chain wallet and your big pants and your like, you know, Nirvana poster or whatever.
Yeah, it was weird. From what I remember, I didn't go there very often, but Commander Salamander had like a, it was like it had the vibe of like a nice streetwear boutique type place, like a fancy place. But if it just, if the taste of the person running that, it's like if they started like Supreme, but they didn't like cool clothes and they were just like limited drop of zip off cargo pants. Like it's like got that kind of vibe to it. But teen outfitters, real teen outfitter type of place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We didn't have any. Our places were all local. We had
this guy. Look at this guy with his, you know,
small business
supporter.
That's right. Well, yeah. Small business. It's the day after Small Business Saturday, so
it's true.
They are not there anymore. Shout out to anybody who was in Fairfield in the '90s in Connecticut. Chili Bear and Funky Frog were the two big ones.
I'd shop at Funky Frog today. That sounds good.
If you want to get some, trucks or stuff for your skateboard, or then some like a what's the name of that little fireball guy,
World Industries,
the little skateboard,
or Spitfire,
Spitfire, that you get one of the little stickers of that guy to put on your like binder or whatever, you know, that's what it's
on your
about.
Spotless skateboard that's never like touched asphalt.
That's right. That's exactly
it's
what
the
I
cleanest
had.
Wheels in
by
the
way
game.
Yeah, I want to get that Alien
like
Workshop
Patty
board and not have anything happen to it.
Yeah.
Much like Patty, I also set my calendar to Small Business Saturday. So today is the day after Small Business Saturday. Tomorrow will be 2 days after Small Business Saturday.
Yeah, it's day one.
This is my new year.
ASBS.
Yeah. This is like changing, exactly. It's like when they changed to BCE instead, you know?
Yep.
It's like that.
It's
for me.
The Thanksgiving weekend is truly getting like absolutely bloated with like, like the combination of holidays and apology holidays that they've developed for Thanksgiving weekend, because it's like, okay, it's Thanksgiving and then it's Native American like history, and then it's Black Friday, and then but it's also Small Business Saturday. Like every holiday now has like an apology holiday the day afterwards.
You're forgetting Tuesday is Giving Tuesday, which I'm already getting slammed
on. God, yeah,
you know,
that's the one we have to go to McDonald's and donate
a
lot of money.
Isn't Indigenous Day also Thanksgiving, though? Like, isn't it just a rename? It's not a separate day?
Just going by my Google calendar, there's like two of them, which, you know, is probably for the best. It's long past due.
But yeah, I know what you mean, though.
There's a lot happening.
Yeah, no, you got Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday. You got, you know.
Yeah. No, Thanksgiving was there's a movement to change Thanksgiving to Indigenous Peoples Day. Friday is Native American Heritage Day.
Ah, okay.
This is according to Google. So who
and the
knows?
Big one, okay. You know, Giving Tuesday is mostly just a way for your college to email you a lot and be to like, "Hey, Giving Tuesday," and it's like, yeah.
I got such a sneaky one of those the other day. I was at my parents' house, and my mom was like, "This came for you today," and it was a letter addressed to me from my high school crew team, and they clearly sent them out because they were like, "Oh, kids come home for Thanksgiving." we can get like alums of this program to give us money. Mm-hmm. It was a solicitation for a donation. I was like, that is diabolical. Cause like, they don't know where I live now, but they're like, well, you know, her parents are still listed in Concord. Let's do this. I'm not giving them a dime for being too crafty.
It. Yeah. I don't even know. It's just all the, like the donations, but it's all like not actual donations. It's always like, yeah, it's like if you got hit up by the Ronald McDonald House over email and they're like,
yeah,
it's Giving Tuesday, time to put all of your loose change in the Ronald McDonald House thing. Like, it's very strange. I don't know. It's a lot of guilt.
It's tough, you know, because it's coming after, like, for at least for Georgetown, it's like, you know, sports are a big way for places to like do like a, they like tie that into, you know, alumni donations, obviously. And Georgetown's pretty much basketball only as far as like major sports that people pay attention to. And they were in the tournament last year. They didn't like go anywhere, but it was like an exciting end. And it's like, wow, let's see what they can build on. And then a bunch of players left and they lost the first game of the season to Dartmouth. And it's like, well, I'm not really feeling too charitable right now, I have to say. Probably other causes. Certainly nothing going to the athletic department.
I do think it's smart, though, to put it there because it's like, it's the time when I think I've certainly felt this sort of, I'm very attuned to how much I'm consuming. Like, a big meal and then also shopping and stuff. I'm very like, not guilty, but like definitely very conscious of like, wow, I'm like consuming and accumulating a lot right now. So putting a holiday where it's like, this is the holiday where you give to charity. It is, I mean, it is about guilt, but it's like, you can sort of offset, you can make your consumption sort of carbon neutral by paying some indulgences. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's what it is. It's indulgences.
Yeah.
It's all indulgences. Yeah, I don't know. I'm scrambled too. I feel like I'm regressing into childhood brain very quickly. It's like I've been in the zone too long. I gotta go out and go sit in an office for 2 hours to recharge my adult brain and not just only know how to work a PS2 or whatever.
Yeah,
I feel like you got on this call and you felt you were like, you seem different. I feel like you're
changed.
Teen Eli. I don't know. You're like, you keep like covering your mouth when you're talking. It's very like, you just seem different. I don't know.
Well,
it's the vibe.
I don't know how to react to it, especially while being recorded.
Sorry.
He's also wearing a dragon sweatshirt, but that's not necessarily different. That's just a throwback.
I think it's just, it's everything's different. I have different, it's really feels like I was like a crane machine hand like picked me up out of my apartment and just dropped me back in 2000 and you know six, but now I'm still recording the same podcast.
Yeah.
So
do you have any like old posters up still, or is all of that gone by now?
I mean
when you were a kid,
I didn't have that many posters anyways. There's an Audio Slave poster right here, but
nice.
I don't think I have many other. I have like, I'm sitting in front of my like rack of like old video. I got Tekken 4 here.
Mm-hmm.
I got nice. The best of Tracy Morgan. I got the Ali G Show complete second season.
Yeah, this is a real time warp.
Yeah, you can see the zone I'm in, and I feel like I guess it's weird because last year wasn't like a full Thanksgiving, so it's like you kind of forget how much you just get driven into the past on Thanksgiving sometimes. And I'm getting that. I haven't really done much else or left the house that much, so it's got that kind of Vegas no clocks feel going on as well.
I had that when I went home because my parents live in New Hampshire where like everyone has COVID, so I just got to their house and then didn't leave until it was time for me to go back to New York because there was nowhere we could go. We thought about taking a walk and then it rained and it was like, well, I guess we can't do anything now. Great.
Yeah.
It's really, yeah, Vegas no clocks is a great comparison to it.
I think it's also, like, energy-wise, it's, you know, my dad is very good at the, love him dearly, but the, like, asking questions about everything that you do. So I've just, like, been doing a podcast with my dad for, like, 2 days, where he's just, like, he has this, it's the same impulse to, like, fill dead air as you do on a podcast. Like,
but
I was, like,
in life.
Yeah, I was like eating a Chipotle burrito before I recorded this, and he was like, "Oh, what flavor is that?" And I was like, "What? What flavor is my burrito?"
It's blue raspberry.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, grape. You know,
white cherry.
Oh, this is a mystery flavor, actually.
It's mystery, yeah. It's all the flavors mixed together. I got a suicide burrito.
Could you do that at Chipotle? I mean, I feel like they charge you extra, but...
They should call it a suicide if they let you do that, where you just get, like, a tablespoon of everything they have.
Yeah, can you get, like,
a
turducken burrito that's not even any vegetables? It's just every type of meat and then rolled up. Like, just be like, sure. Let me get a little bit of every meat, and then that's it.
They gotta charge you extra for that.
Like, you have to do it. I'm the customer. You have to do it.
You have to.
I'm the king in here.
Let me get a white burrito, like the white airhead.
Yeah, white mystery.
I got calling quesadillas white burritos. Like, I'm white burrito. I'm more pizza guy.
Yeah. Should we do numbers?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Number 5.
Pulling it up. Let me move along my tiny trackpad on my tiny desk for babies and open this story.
I can't see like anything besides your head, so I'm imagining you're literally on like a Fisher Price, like, you know when they make those fake, like those plastic little kitchens for kids?
Yeah.
You're on that, but a desk.
Like,
with a little Fisher Price laptop on
it. This is the same angle you would have if you were like sitting with your laptop like on the toilet.
Like, it's not how it feels. And it's like so much space is taken up by shit that is just not. I have like, I'm not kidding, I have like probably 200 burned CDs sitting on this desk that I'm not moving for whatever reason. It's like, oh, well, I got to record my podcast, but I can't move my what seems to be Clerks 2 burned onto a CDR.
That is an artifact. That is incredible. It's like, I can tell what month this was made.
I have my copy of the Marshall Mathers LP.
DVD.
Okay, yes, got, yeah, sure.
Kung Fu Panda.
So these are like DivX AVIs of all these movies.
It's the big, what Eli is showing us is a big stack of the blank CDRs, or I guess DVDRs. And the top one was Clerks 2 on one, and then the top one of the other one was Kung Fu Panda. Now he's looking through.
Kung Fu Panda is more surprising to me. I didn't remember.
That seems more recent, but I might.
I had a time in like my freshman year when I first figured this out. My freshman year of college, this existed. My roommate was able to kind of turn me on to this. Like, you just burn to a CD, and then you don't have to keep it on your computer or whatever, you know. So I would just get stuff because it was available. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't need to have... I couldn't even tell you because I don't have the CDs anymore. But I got rid of the evidence, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, man. You want to...
Number five, though.
Yeah. I'll end it here because if you want a time capsule, how about 2 burned copies of Girl Talk's Night Ripper album? Girl Talk. True. Also, now I've made even less space on my desk because now I have CDs everywhere. But yes, number 5, this comes to us. This is from NPR. It was submitted to us by I Am The Raj. Canada has opened the vaults. They've gone into, you know, they've broken the glass in case of emergency on their what is apparently their strategic maple syrup reserves that they have. So they're dealing with.
This is just prepping everyone for winter. Shelby is playing the EMS noise.
Yeah, well, that's also like a Thanksgiving noise. It's the testing the emergency broadcast system while I'm watching Forensic Files at 4 in the morning.
Yeah,
that's it. So many horns. So I guess there's a shortage after COVID of maple syrups. I don't know why there would be a shortage from COVID of syrup. I mean, the trees don't know about it. They're still making
enough.
Yeah,
I feel like it's more weather related than COVID related, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess
maybe this year's short and warm spring resulted in an uncharacteristically low yield for producers.
Yeah.
And so they have this reserve. They've released about half of it, which is 50 million pounds of syrup, maple syrup.
Wow.
Yeah, that seems like a lot. You got to fill. It's going to take a while to build the reserves back up.
Yeah, half is like quite a bit.
That also seems like too much to save. So you're going to, it's going to go backwards. You're going to flood the market.
So we did a lie, cheat, and steal about how there was a big maple syrup heist about 10 years ago in Canada. Because of this system, they stole it from the reserve. And mm-hmm. it's like this really like controversial and sort of politically fraught thing in Canada, because it literally is like OPEC or something. It's like it's a cartel that controls this commodity. And so, and because they have like these good years and bad years, when they have good years, the people who are like licensed to sell maple syrup in Canada have to give some of their maple syrup to this reserve. And some people are like really resistant to it. There's literally been like arson of people's maple syrup processing plants. Like, it's this whole dramatic thing. It's totally crazy.
Delicious
maple syrup.
They keep the reserves in one of the, like a giant paper cup like you get in the restaurant, you know, and then it's under like a, you know how they like to keep all the salt and the you know, gravel and stuff in like a city mm-hmm. that they need to, it's just like that, it's just under a thing, so it's very very easy to take.
It's in that cup that's like, it's all, it's like the waxed paper that's been folded into a cup shape.
Yeah,
it's exactly like that, but the one that you pull water out tower size,
and it can be a yeah. little dipping cup.
Yeah,
the secret of the wax cups. It's in a huge swimming pool with a peel back sticker over the top of the pool, so that you know, with the one corner sticking up.
Yes.
And they can peel it back. No, I mean, but I guess now they almost get the final say here, because now that they have a really bad year, they can finally be like, see, we would have been fucked. We now got all this maple syrup. Also, this is unrelated to maple syrup, but it is related to sauce packaging. Like, the way that we handle ketchup packets has got to go. It's not right. It's not right. That's not how it works. Like, you got to get rid of this.
I feel like I have never been able to get one open without putting my teeth on it. And I don't want to do that ever.
Literally, like, a medium amount of ketchup for one fry in each of those things. I'm just saying, you're going to give me fucking paper straws. Why are we doing paper straws and still people are handing me like handfuls of ketchup packets? And
just I don't like the packet, because it's like, as soon as you squirt the ketchup out of it, you have the most annoying trash possible.
Oh, yeah.
It's like instantly the most disgusting item ever.
It somehow so gets gross. Ketchup on like every surface of it.
Everything.
It like, it basically just like self-destructs, and then you get some ketchup. And yeah, you got to stick it.
And you get like a teaspoon of ketchup from it. It's absurd.
And no other sauce does this. Like, the only sauce that does it that kind of makes sense is hot sauce, because that's like the correct dosage of like some hot sauces. But like barbecue sauce and all that stuff, they come in the tubs. Like, switch to the tubs.
Well, you see,
like mayonnaise comes in a packet, but it's a bigger packet. It's like longer.
Yeah, mayonnaise
Make
comes
that,
in a long
but
packet.
Ketchup.
Long packet.
It's
long
they just are they just don't want to buy new machines or something, but like,
well,
they gotta stop.
Have you not this seen the stop. Have you not seen the Heinz? They have like the ones that you can open two different ways. It's like a tub. Either you open it from the bottom up, the bottom corner up, and it's a tub, or you rip the top off and it's like a squeeze packet.
It's a squeezy thing.
Whoa,
yeah, but no one has those.
Never seen this dual action.
Some places, I think, some like when I used to get food delivered from a place or something, they used to have them, but they are rare. And it's also like, it's like two packets worth of ketchup at least. So that's the optimum, but also that's like way more. It was like plastic, and it's like, you know, there's all kinds of other issues with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know if they don't use the tub because they're still, they're pandering to those freaks who, like, you know, the people who eat french fries and they're just like, I just drizzle it all over the top.
Yeah, you can't live like that.
Disgusting.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
Make this
that
weird little minefield.
Into trash.
Yeah, like, it's soup. It's so bad.
It makes your fries become the trash ketchup packet.
Right.
That's
gross hands. What are you for? Yeah. You're digging in there and sucking your fingers.
You little vinegar freak. Get out of here.
You just want your fries to be like soggy with uneven amounts of ketchup. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And they always paint it like it's like they're solving a problem. They're like, well, no, we'll just put ketchup on all the fries now, and then nobody will have to. It's like, it's not a problem for me to get ketchup. This is a problem.
It is crap.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're making the worst nachos I've ever seen. This is so nasty. Please. Get out of here.
Yeah. You know? No. Ketchup not in a little pile. Ketchup dispersed to me is like, you might as well have just thrown something away and it got the juice from the garbage on it. Like, so
it is,
awful.
It feels like eating french fries out of the trash when someone does
that.
It feels like you're eating them directly out of the trash.
I
I feel like a fucking seagull. It's so nasty. Like, God. It's like, do you ever have that friend that would, like, if it's like a sleepover or something and there's any like communal food, they would just like immediately put some weird fucked up seasoning on all of it. They were like, it's like that tweet. Was it like a Colin Crawford tweet about Billy dinner, where it's like you go over to someone's house and you find out that they have some weird thing called Billy dinner that's like spaghetti with mozzarella sticks in it or something. But no, you'd be like, make popcorn, and then one friend would just be like, oh, I like mine with like mustard seed on it. And you're like, and everyone would be like, what the fuck, man? And she keep I've your not freak had this shit experience. To yourself.
I think you just knew you had one inconsiderate friend as a child.
Mm. Or Tabasco. I mean,
Tabasco. Yeah, I mean, the ketchup thing is just, yeah, I think you... That's something that somebody does once, and they find out that you react like you spat, like they spat on it or whatever. It's like, no, you're going to get the same stuff on it. It's like, yeah, but I like to control the amount and consistency.
That's what I'm saying. That's the line I was looking for. You're going to get the same stuff on it. No, not.
Fuck your life, Bing Bang.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's correct.
It's just a bald-faced lie. It'll be the same as if I didn't do this.
Like, I don't need to eat this like I'm eating in a car. You know what I mean?
We're sitting down together. Why do we need to do this?
Yeah. I need to pick out each French fry like I'm going through a fucking laser grid so that I'm not covered in ketchup. Nasty stuff.
And they don't stay crispy when you do that.
It's so bad.
It's gross. We hate it. We're coming down hard on this.
Maple syrup.
You know. Do you guys like, are you a fan of the real stuff, the stuff from the tree, maple syrup, or do you like the fake stuff, or both?
I like this real stuff. I think I was like spoiled with it because I, you know, we would always go to New Hampshire in the summer and then we'd have like a stockpile of the real stuff. I just don't eat breakfast that, like,
yeah,
I that's
oh
not
yeah
a...
I don't eat I'm not eating maple syrup regularly as an adult, but I do I do like it.
I would say I probably like either. I have basically hummingbird taste for that kind of stuff, whatever I can kind of buzz
it's
over
sugar. It's delicious. Fine. Oh, yeah. I got spoiled with the real stuff too. I really don't like the fake stuff.
I also don't put a ton of maple syrup on like pancakes or waffles, or I'll put like a little bit on, but I don't like to douse it. You know?
I douse it.
I wish I could put it in a spray bottle. That's what I want. I want like a light mist of maple.
Like the butter is doing more work for me taste wise, I think, than the maple syrup. And I used to not be like that. I don't know why. I was like a freak. I used to just eat like pancakes without anything on them. Like, you know,
just dry pancakes.
Well, my mom would make like
a little treat.
It was the kind that came in that no because they weren't they I think I guess she must have put butter on them at some point or something, but like I would not add anything to them. But like the
Bisquick ones were good. Are you
little silver dollar guys? It's probably not called this anymore, so it's not my fault. I didn't design the brand. Aunt Jemima used to have the little like milk carton.
I actually think they are, and they still have the same logo.
And
it
you
is
would pour them
disgust though.
Thing, yeah,
and you, it's and being
you,
discussed.
You'd pour them in the you'd pour them in onto the you know and onto like a pan or whatever and cook them that way, and they'd be like you know yay big. So those were my jam, but I didn't put anything on them usually after that. So.
Weird, very weird.
Whatever. Just trying to live my life.
Yeah,
Fuck your life. Bing bang.
I have this theory about like your tastes widen as you get older, or at least it's happened for me, where it's just like you start to like become immune to flavors that you used to like when you were like your palate gets like just like broader and you're just like whatever. If it tastes strong, no, I want it. You know, like.
There's like medical stuff for that. It's like bitter flavors and stuff. When you're older, you like those better and you don't.
Well, there it is.
And like stuff seems sweeter, which is why kids can like slam, like, you know, there's kids that are like put maple syrup on breakfast cereal. And then when you get older, you're like if I have like a full piece of chocolate cake, I'm like, my tooth hurts. I'm like, ew.
Yeah. I can feel the changes in my body from this and I don't like it.
Like the breakfast thing, that's what I was thinking. Is like thinking about the days when I would have like, you know, the big breakfast from a commercial or something. And now I feel like once every 6 months I order a waffle and I eat half of it and I feel sick for a week.
I go to bed.
Yeah, it ruins my shit.
Yeah, like I was thinking, like I cannot envision at this point in my life, like the damage a Pop-Tart would do to me. Like, whereas I used to be psyched if I get a Pop-Tart for breakfast. And now I'm like, I think that would like ruin my day. Like, I just don't think I could handle it anymore, let alone for breakfast.
Especially the new ones where they're like,
I can't do that strong stuff.
Yeah. I miss the old Pop-Tarts, the unfrosted.
I need Pop-Tart mids. That's what I need.
Yeah, Pop-Tarts are probably way too... They probably have, like, Pop Rock, like, Warhead-flavored Pop... You know what I mean? Like, it's, like, too... Like, I just want... This is breakfast, man. I can't do this.
Yeah, I mean,
it's, like, Pop-Tarts... vodka flavors now. They make, like... they've reverse-engineered, so now it's breakfast cereal-flavored Pop-Tarts. And it's, like, just eat Fruity Pebbles. What are you doing?
Yeah. It's, like, Pop-Tarts... Pop-Tarts, it's like journalism, you know? It's like, yeah, we know which Pop-Tarts get the clicks, but you gotta have some integrity. You gotta keep making...
Pop-Tarts is like journalism. Yeah. It's really good.
You know, you gotta still make the Pop-Tarts that are gonna get you the awards. You gotta make the apple cinnamon unfrosted. It's like, yeah, we know
you need the prestige Pop-Tarts in there, too.
Yeah, and then you wake up one day and you look at your newspaper and it's just cotton candy pop. It's cotton candy for breakfast, and you're like, "What happened? At one point, we were a real breakfast option. Now we're these like freak s'mores shit." It started with the s'mores, and it all went downhill.
This cruel game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, but, somehow I can still handle maple syrup. I'm still pro maple syrup, but only. Mm-hmm. Can't go nuts.
And if you're in Canada, don't worry. They've cracked open the reserves. There will be no shortage this year.
The price will stay stable. The price will stay stable. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Should we do number four?
Number four.
Number four comes to us from Chris in the Discord. So this story is from England. It happened in an Aldi, which I thought Aldi was like a Midwest thing, but I guess it's everywhere.
I think they came over from England, maybe. I don't know. There's too many grocery stores now.
They came over from England. Like,
this is real. They're real. A bunch of cranks today. We're complaining about it.
Yeah.
Return with a V instead of a U. That's this episode right now.
Yeah.
Well, don't
push your politics
on
me, pal.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know what the energy is today. I feel like we're all a little negative, but you know, hopefully for fun reasons.
Andy Rooney mode.
Yeah, a little Andy Rooney mode today.
The bull god is back.
That is the new credo for this podcast today.
Ain't nobody gonna tell me.
Every single time Street Fight Brian posts that video, I watch it. Every time. I always click it. It's so good. But
that's if you don't know, that's Kid Rock's new song where he complains about cancel culture or whatever. I don't even know what it is. It's just
the line before that line is, "All you, or hey snowflakes, here's a news flash."
Oh,
and
oh
then,
my god!
Ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live.
I was wondering if that was like an old song I didn't know, because what it. I mean, this is colored by the fact that I have an Audioslave poster in front of me. It sounds like a royalty-free Audioslave song, like someone tried to.
I was gonna
say
it sounds like a truck commercial. Like it's just like he also straight up looks like the MyPillow guy now.
Oh yeah,
because he has like a rounder face. And he has the mustache, and he just straight up looks like Mike Lindell.
They get that real thick neck that kind of, like, their traps start going into their neck, and they start looking like a damn macho, that kind of
well,
physique.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say it's muscle-related, but, just you know, Kid Rock was not exactly the most muscular dude. But,
I think
anyway,
it's posture more than muscle, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's,
yeah.
They just start going up.
Anyway, what's going on at Aldi?
Aldi. A British Aldi. This is weird. I assumed from this headline and stuff that this was like an old lady, but no, this is a 35-year-old complained and apparently complained so much that she was interviewed on the news about it, about how her bagger at Aldi was behaving extremely aggressively toward her and that she was traumatized by it because he was scanning her groceries too quickly and she... could not keep up with the bagging, and her groceries were like falling on the floor, and this guy's just like scanning too quick and creating piles of all of her goods.
Now did she have to do anything? Was she like in like the assembly line trying to get them in the bags?
I think she was bagging her own groceries.
Okay.
I think he was scanning and she was bagging.
Okay.
And she said, quote, "He could see my struggle, and when a tin finally fell, I began crying and shaking." So
good grief.
She felt like this was like aggressive, behavior toward her as a person.
Yeah.
Which I will say, at the grocery store near me, you have to bag your own groceries, and I do feel like it is a high pressure situation. Like,
yeah, you're like Lucy eating the chocolates.
It's kind of intense. Like, and I feel like I'm being judged on how efficiently and quickly I'm doing it.
I'm surprised that they would do like the idea of like having people bag their own groceries. From when I worked at Trader Joe's or whatever, like, that does not make it easier. It's way faster for me to bag them. Like, I was the opposite. When I worked at Trader Joe's, I'd be like pissed off when people were telling me how to bag stuff, because I was like, I literally do this like 45 times an hour. Like, I know what just like some lady, and I'm like, I'm not gonna put your fucking eggs on the bottom, lady. I'm not an idiot, you know, like, I understand the chips go on top. Like, I'm surprised.
Relax,
that they
honey.
Yeah. I use that voice.
Well,
when
yeah, I
mean,
all right, I think it's rude, unless they have like specific bags or something. I don't think it's correct for a customer to tell the bagger how to do it. But if you're bagging your groceries, then that's not an issue. That's not the problem.
Yeah, like, I'm saying
she's
surprised
bagging her own groceries.
I'm surprised that that's what I was saying. I'm surprised that that's something that they would like. That somebody, maybe it's somebody high up who's like, you know, what would really like speed this process up is having people bag their own shit, because it's just
it would also require
it doesn't
to pay
help anybody.
People. So that presumably is a bad
I'm saying it's
well.
That's what it is. It's so they don't have to pay another person to bag. So they just have the person scanning.
I guess. I just always bagged and scanned. But I guess everyone has different.
Yeah, Trader Joe's, it's the pipelines. Same person does both. But a lot of them, they don't. A lot of them, it's a separate person. So they're just.
This really is something that, like, it's amazing this became a news story. Because, like, this happens. You're like, boy, weird grocery store situation today. And you tell your friends or whatever. But, like, the idea that you end up speaking to a reporter is really quite something.
Well, this is also funny. Apparently, and I do feel like this would be a mortifying situation for me, because as I said, when I'm bagging my own groceries at the place where you bag your own groceries, I do feel like it is high stress, especially when there are people waiting behind me. I'm like, I gotta really speed this up, you know? Mm-hmm. So apparently, yes, it's intense. Apparently, the Aldi person told her she was bagging too slowly, which is like, I do feel like she is not in the wrong to be like, this guy's a little intense.
Yeah, no, it's not good customer service to be hey, pick it up, lady. But
what's it? They were like throwing stuff on the floor or whatever. Like, yeah,
they were like scanning stuff so fast that it was like overflowing and like falling on the
floor. I mean, that's what I think. It's like everybody in that area is sort of like, this leads to someone having to be like, hey, like, chill out.
What's up?
Like, yeah. Like, even the person behind them is like, I can wait, dude. I've got time.
I feel like this is the kind of situation, because I used to do this sometimes at an old job I had. Which was very bad, but I just sometimes couldn't control myself doing customer service stuff. Like, you find ways in your job to, like, be a dick to customers, but that are, like, not detectable by any. Like, you can't be like, what? I'm doing my job too well, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, when I worked, I worked a customer service job on the phone, and when someone was pissing me off and being really rude, I would just cut them off. But, like, the person, anybody hearing me have the conversation at my work thinks I'm like being perfectly nice, but I'm actually like talking over and cutting off this person who's yelling at me. So but it's just like no one can tell at my job that I'm being a total asshole.
I was like, I feel like that's like completely undetectable. Like, it's at some point where they have to review a recording and they're like, oh wow. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a job where it was recorded. Like, it wasn't a call center, so. What? I think I know what that was supposed
was
to be, but I did not hear
thing.
It correctly.
I believe that was the Byron guy.
We Byron! Back at Coney Island with this dickhead, but for some reason my Zoom played it all in one undifferentiated sound.
I mean, there's plenty of customer service ways you can be impolite to people and also be technically doing your job, but it doesn't result in like a tin of eels on the ground or whatever.
That's I'm sure what it was. She was buying jellied eels and
my kippers
and
all
my
from the gas station.
Yeah.
All my cured fish. Yeah, that's what I
simple as.
But it's like you were saying, Kath, it's like, this is something that is like so clearly, like, you just would get disciplined over it, because they'd be
you're
throwing stuff at people and you're disrupting everyone. You gotta
a dick move.
Yeah, you gotta just kind of like, like what the thing to do here would be to like kind of create just like an obnoxious pyramid of stuff in front of the person bagging. Like you just like would have to like make it very clear how slow they're going, but you don't want to like knock stuff over.
Yeah.
So you're just like whenever you get a moment and there's like a huge
build a castle out of it.
It's a dick move. Speak to somebody about it, I guess, but like you don't have to get like the sicko British press who's gonna like hack everybody involved's phone involved in it. Like it's the tabloid British press.
This was reported in The Sun, so I'm assuming this Aldi employee has been executed by a sniper.
Yeah, the lady was, what's that classic British socialite, Peaches Geldof or something? Like the person that nobody knew who she was ever.
Katie Price, yeah, all those people.
Oh yeah, it's Katie Price.
Well, yeah, no, it's Rita Ora or Lady Victoria Hervey. I know way too many of these from
Lady Victoria Hervey.
Yeah. She's somebody
who
like
royalty.
I don't know where the lady comes from, but she's just like a person who is on the beach all the time, like in a bikini. And now she's like in her 40s or whatever. And she like dated Prince Andrew for a little while, so she's been having a nice renaissance of Epstein adjacent news coverage. I think it's hot. Get back in the paper. Get back in the news.
Now she's like suspiciously on a beach, or like mournfully on a beach.
Yeah, she's on a very suspicious beach.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, like I said, it's not. Yeah, hopefully nobody has been we're not revealing any other deep dark secrets about the people involved in this thing. But
apparently, this is like a kind of a chronic problem at Aldi where people aren't doing it on purpose, but they're just like they coach the people to scan stuff really fast, and like the technology makes it really easy to scan stuff way faster than it used to be, and so it's just like. There are a bunch of other quotes in here from people talking about how they get stressed out bagging groceries at Aldi.
They made it too easy. Like the scanning is too, their scanner is too sensitive. You got to bring it back to when you have to have it lined up and you have to maybe do it once or twice to get it.
I mean, this is becoming like more and more just like a one-to-one human real life Tetris. Like this is like the thing at the top of Tetris that tells you what block is coming next, like yelling at you because the screen's filling up. It's like, yeah, I know. Like, shut
doing
up.
My best.
Yeah. This is
Let's
Tetris 99.
Let's go. You can go faster than that. Come on.
Yeah, Trump, I mean,
the Aldi employee.
Like it's just like this system is just like flawed from the very base. Like, yeah, you can scan
We've
stuff
innovated
super
too
fucking
much.
Fast.
Yeah.
Like. I'll tell you the
we
one
need
other
to, again return with a V for a U back to the old grocery store ways.
Oh, here's another insight from the grocery store business, from the cashier business. You know those products that like do a cool design thing with their barcode, so their barcode looks like the like New York skyline or something, and then people take photos of it and post it on the internet and they're like, "Check this out, isn't this cool?" It's the worst the worst thing in the world. It sucks so much.
They don't scan well.
You can't find it because you're like when you're going through and you're just like where the fuck is the barcode, and then you have like Statue of Liberty on the back that I wasn't looking at. I hate it.
I don't
them
feel like
so
I've
much.
Noticed a barcode like that, but I'm sure they're out there.
They did it for a while. Maybe cashiers took a stand and they were like, you gotta stop. This has got to stop.
Cashiers notoriously able to affect the decisions.
The cashier's union took a stand. The CU.
Well, let's do number three.
Yeah.
Number three.
Number three comes to us from Average Gatsby in the Discord. It's, but we'll just do the headline. Walmart pulls children's toy that swears and sings in Polish about doing cocaine. And I guess so. This is a grandmother in Ontario bought an educational toy for her 15-month-old granddaughter. 50-month-old granddaughter, not month-year-old, was shocked.
Her 50-year-old granddaughter bought her this little singing toy.
50 granddaughter. She was shocked. It's a dancing cactus. And it's just kind of like in a little pot. It's kind of like a, I don't know, like a baby Groot type deal. It just kind of dances around. And was shocked when the dancing cactus started swearing and singing about cocaine in Polish. And the grandma was Polish, so she was able to understand the lyrics. So it's about doing cocaine, drug abuse, suicide, depression, and use profanities throughout. Apparently,
they really like packed a lot in there.
Yeah. Well, it's so it's it's a Chinese manufacturer, and they just, I guess, just pulled their soundtrack from who knows where. There's English and Spanish also. Polish is a weird third choice. I wouldn't go, you know, English. Yeah. What are the three choices? English, Spanish, Polish, right?
Where were they? Were they like in Chicago? Maybe that's, places where that might be.
In Toronto, and it's
they were inside a submarine with a screen door. That's why.
They got to appeal to the demographics down there.
Chicago!
They had to return the solar powered flashlight that they had. Which is not as dumb as it sounds.
I think they have those.
They actually make those.
So it's a Chinese manufacturer. It was sold through Walmart. Really no reason why. They were just picking this audio from everywhere. And it's by this Polish rapper named, C-Y-P-I-S, Cypis? I don't know. But reportedly unaware his song was being used. He's basically like a SoundCloud rapper type guy. He has a quote here. It's about taking 5 grams of cocaine and being alone. It's a very depressing song. So, you know, well, I don't know, like a little Xan or something, but like in like a children's toy.
Man,
it's,
you get
like the sound clips they use in these toys. It's like 30 seconds max, right? Which is why I love that it's like, it's about depression, cocaine, killing yourself, and there's swears in it. It's like, it's about all of those things in 30 seconds. So it must just be about doing cocaine and then killing yourself.
It's like grindcore or whatever. It's one of those 30 second, just like, brrr, like, that's
it. They put an anal cunt song in the kid's toy.
And he's going,
we do a little trolling. It's called We Do a Little Trolling.
And it's been sold since July 2021 in Europe and I guess in Canada. And if you don't speak Polish, you wouldn't know what it was. Maybe it's catchy. Right. I don't know. This guy, the rapper said he's apparently going to take legal action against the Chinese company for using the song without permission. Good luck, buddy, because I don't know. Not a lot of respect for intellectual property. I don't know if you know that over there. But
especially that's been posted on SoundCloud. I feel like you got a pretty weak case.
I mean, it's just. So, you know, this is good to let people know about this, stick to English and Spanish, although it'd be very funny if the English and Spanish ones were also somehow bad.
You've done. I don't know who you are.
The English one is just the Nine Inch Nails version of Hurt, not the Johnny Cash one.
So it's like, it's not like tonally, it's not like content wise inappropriate for kids to hear. It just really bums them out and makes them sad.
Yeah it's just really
know
sad.
That
and so this has been sold for like 5 months, like I said, since July. There have been apparently a bunch of complaints, so it's not clear why it's still being sold. I think it's still being sold because they don't give a shit the answer.
Because it's a piece of crap that people will exchange money
and
for.
And this is one of those things where it's a third party seller through Walmart.com. Because every one of these big chains and does that, where this way nobody has any responsibility for what they're selling.
Right. They're all Amazon now.
But Walmart said they take this complaint seriously. We're removing this item while we look into this complaint. So good work, everyone.
If you buy this toy has basically been laundered the way that you get it. It's been sent through multiple offshore accounts. There's no way to trace this back to the manufacturer. Good luck.
Yeah, but, keep an eye out.
Fucking shit!
There's something about a dancing cactus speaking Polish is just like, okay, like, are there cactus? There's no climate for cactuses in Poland.
Yeah,
right?
No, it's the kind of thing where you're like, was any human involved in producing this?
Like, it's like one of those kids YouTube channels.
Yeah,
was this just generated, an object generated by algorithm, but also that like somehow exploited like hundreds of people in order to be made, but like no one made any decisions about it. It just like appeared, you know?
Yeah.
He's got pretty good moves.
It's like the old...
It is a kind of cool toy.
The old, like, stand-up premise where it's like... just drum fills?
Yeah.
All right.
Did you get a new keyboard? Shelby got a Casio.
Yeah.
It's like the old stand-up bit where they're like, what was the meeting like that about? And the answer for this was like, there was no meeting. Like, nobody talked about this.
The meeting was just that dial-up sound. It was just computers generating you know, market analysis or something.
They also look like I'm looking at there's a few different clips on this website, and like some of the clips, the eyes are very close. Like, you know, like it's like a, you know, kind of like a, almost like a Rick and Morty esque, you know, or Simpsons, where the eyes are basically touching each other. And then some of them, the eyes are very far apart. So the manufacturing is not consistent. I'm not sure what's going on with that.
I can't believe there's a quality control issue in the dancing Polish swearing cactus factory.
Like the one the grandma's shocking. Holding, the eyes are very far apart. So I don't know what's going on. Kind of upsetting that they look that different. But, you know, hey, whatever.
I want one.
Your kid,
I want one that swears and raps in Polish about doing cocaine and then killing yourself. That sounds like a fun thing to own.
It looks like the seller on here also is all lowercase, two words, the true. So that seems like a legitimate seller that you want to get involved
This is cursed. This is the new Annabelle. Is this the true cactus?
What are you buying this from? Rose the Hat? Stephen King shit?
Rose the Hat. The picture is of the cactus facing away from somebody who's reading a book. Like there's like a schoolgirl reading a book and the cactus is facing you. It's like just this entire setup is just like, why did you buy this? How are you not like off put at some point?
Your children will ignore it. Check it out.
Did anyone else have those, one of those dancing cactuses when they were a kid that told you to kill your parents or whatever? Yeah. You know, it's like a creepypasta.
Told me to do cocaine. Yeah.
It's, you know, yeah, it's like this was like from the, bought some stuff from the dollar store and they're like, the plastic sword is filled with asbestos. And everyone's like, yeah, that's why it's in there. This shit is weird. You can't be buying stuff from here and expecting it to be good. But
it's like when you buy like the cheapest meat at the grocery store. This is like the off cuts of toys. It's like,
this is awful.
Yeah, it's awful. It's the awful of toys. You're getting like a, you know, a goat spleen. That's what this dancing cactus is. I'm sorry if you love goat spleen. I apologize. That's your favorite food.
You can only buy this toy if you catch the employee on his way to throw it in the dumpster. And you're like, hold on. Are you getting rid of that?
What if goat spleen was like, you didn't like sweet meats or any of that stuff, and you like tried it and you're like, oh no, this is the best thing I've ever had in my life.
You get the hunger, like, but for goat spleen.
Yeah, like the horror dawning on you that you're becoming one of those people, like a hoof to, like a, you know, nose to hoof, like,
yeah.
Person.
I'm going to start getting like tattoos of chef's knives on my forearms and stuff. Just like they just appear when I wake up. If you eat enough goat spleen, you become one of those guys. I start growing a huge beard.
Yeah. I feel like that's already like, There's levels of that where it's like being someone who like somehow gets tastes of liver and onions and you're like, damn, this shit is good. Or like anchovies, even, where you're like, I'm gonna be the anchovy person at every pizza party now, you know?
I mean, like I have a little bit of that. I eat a lot of food that you have considered Gollum food. A lot of tin pickles. Fish and pickles. That's kind of my shit. So
anchovies is hard to bring up. It's like sardines, you know?
Anchovies is one of those
things. Love sardines.
Exactly. But it's like, if you're at the goddamn pizza party and you're like, what do you think, pepperoni? You can't be like,
oh, no.
I was thinking anchovies.
That's the equivalent of the guy at the sleepover putting like weird stuff on the popcorn.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you going
to
say?
We could just do anchovies on half.
Anchovies is one of those things that like, it's like quicksand. I know this is like a Mulaney bit, but like, I thought I'd be constantly dodging anchovies because, like, you know, like oh, no, like, on, like, TV shows and stuff, it's like, no anchovies, you know, it's like, they're not going to do that. It's not.
As if, like, pizza default comes with anchovies and you have to say no.
Get that shit out of here, man. I'm not eating that. It's like, that's not, nobody, you don't have to worry about it.
That's not even possible at most places.
You're not encountering anchovies very frequently unless you go looking for them.
Unless you get to hold the anchovies.
Unless your Caesar salad costs at least, like, $18, you're not gonna see anchovies anywhere.
Yeah,
that's really like the only, or you get like a really nice Greek salad, that's pretty much it. That's the only time you're seeing an anchovy. Without me,
it's like quicksand and cargo netting or what, you know, all the stuff that you, for whatever reason,
it's part of the big like comedy writing for kids cartoons, which is just where if something's stinky, that's like really great. That's like a really good joke.
Limburger
kids
cheese
cartoon.
Baby,
yeah,
classic.
Like, you used to think, you would think that Gorgonzola cheese could wipe a city block. Like, and then you actually get to see it when you're an adult and you're like, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't like love it's to like, have it sitting out, but like, it's not, knocking people out. It's not forming into a cartoon fist and beating you up.
You're like pranking somebody by putting Gorgonzola cheese on their like engine block and it eats through it and the car like can't run anymore.
Yeah. Thermite, yeah.
Yeah.
Blowing out a lock with it.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's a little funky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll move on with our lives.
Ladies and gentlemen, fish.
Yeah, there it is.
Speaking of moving on with our lives,
should we
move on with our numbers?
Number two.
So number two, this one comes to us from, I believe, a first-time story submitter, Flamboyant Squidworm, which I assume is a Squidward SpongeBob. Thank you for this story. This is from Richmondshire Today. News from Richmond, Cataract, and the Dales. So we're getting real English already.
Ooh, we're getting into what's going on in the Dales.
Yeah. And this is the story of... there is a retired racehorse who has there's a restraining order on an old grandma because she won't stop feeding him carrots. So there is now
imagine the horse was not consulted about the restraining order because I feel like he is pro receiving carrots.
It is. That's part of the problem.
What's the complaint here? Yeah.
So it's one of these things. It's a great story here, and you kind of get to the point where you're like not only like I kind of see why this went to court. You're also like I kind of see why this was like not open and shut almost because there's like stuff going on with it. But the one interesting thing is, you know, a lot of times these headlines are like a horse with a restraining order, and I was like, that's probably just a little bit of liberty. As far as I could tell here, they do say that this rarely. A ruling rarely, if ever, passed by a British court. The horse directly has legal protection from this woman.
Sure.
So there's this horse. The horse's name is now Nelson, but it was an ex race horse. So it used to race with one of those weird race names like
right. Papa's
long.
Delicate Condition or Mr. Show ones.
Yeah. So
Mandy Patinkin was a horse. I'm just gonna keep remembering them through this. Continue.
Yeah. it's a retired racehorse owned by Suzanne Cook. And there's Margaret Porter lives nearby and saw Nelson hanging out in his pasture or whatever and thought that he looked sad. And so she started to feed him carrots, and also like was like very adamant that he was underfed. So this is some real grandma shit. These are real grandma shit.
His skin and bones.
Like literally, here's quotes from him. I saw him standing outside his stables and I thought he looked quite sad. I didn't examine the horse, but I noticed him. The fields were frozen at the time and there was snow on the ground. I passed 6 or 7 times a day and didn't see his owner with him once. He looked thin and I began speaking to people about my concerns in the hope someone would take it on board and try and get her to look after the horse properly. I was getting quite distressed about the situation. So she starts feeding him carrots, which eventually the person who owned the horse was like walking around the field and was like, there's carrot tops like everywhere doing prop comedy. Just kidding. So she's like, she knows.
Upsettingly muscular.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she like figured out who it was and she's like, hey, please don't feed my horse. Also, there's a sign up that says don't feed my horse. And then she kept feeding it. And then, you know, another time she's like, keep seeing them being like, why are you feeding my horse? See, this is her thing. And she goes, you could poison my horse. And it's like, she's not poisoning your horse. Shut up, lady. Give me carrots. But I kind of get why. And then the grandma just pulled the old move and she just goes, call the police. I'm not bothered. It's like, do
hell
it.
Hell yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
So at this point, it's like there's nothing too much. You know, it's just this lady who thinks this horse is thin and keeps feeding it carrots. But then when this escalates is that the grandma fucking drops a dime on her and whatever the English version of like animal. I don't understand. RSPCA. So it's like CPS, but for animals, I guess.
Like, it's like the ASPCA here, but instead of A, American, it's R, Royal.
Yeah.
So it's,
but I didn't know the ASPCA made animals. House calls. I guess they do. So they show up and they're like, we've had reports that a horse is being abused. And they're like, someone has been starving a horse here. And she's like, no, you can go look at him. Here's the horse. They look at the horse. Their report is they go, because this was a retired racehorse, and they're like, not only is this horse fine, this is one of like the strongest horses we've ever met. They're like, this horse
it's
is.
It's like a presidential physical report.
Yeah.
That's
like
what we're.
Vigorous. It would be like, it would be like someone like.
They do
like,
describe them in those presidential fitness reports like very weirdly. Like it is like an animal. It's like an animal. Yeah, their stamina, and they're like they probably make the presidents like pull tires or something to see.
It's just CrossFit,
you know, how much work they can do, you know?
They do an agility contest like at the dog show, but it's just with the president running around.
They just have him run and catch a frisbee.
Yeah,
it's a presidential combine. They have to do a 3-cone. How many benches? How many benches did Obama do? How many reps of whatever 200 pounds?
It's just the. It's just
they should have a little presidential Shrek combine. That should be instead of the debates. They should make them do a combine.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah.
What about Shrek?
Well, instead of that little Shrek running around the obstacle course, it's just the president
running around the obstacle course. I forgot about that little Shrek.
Little animated Biden running around the obstacle course. Biden trying to do a bench press and his arms just fall off. Just
they crumble into dust. They just poof.
Oh yeah. So they call this inspector comes in. He's like, okay, look at the horse, and he goes, not only is this horse well looked after, he's in peak condition, having competed 3 times in professional horse races.
He's like, have you ever heard the phrase healthy as a horse?
Because... Yeah. Right. And so the thing is, so she doubles down even when they're like, this is such a healthy horse, you won't believe it.
Get this lady out of here. She keeps busy. Get her out of here.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like when people, I feel like we have all known people like this. I knew one in college where they like, adopt a stray animal and it's like that's clearly someone's cat that like just comes into your yard and you're like
it's got some of those stray tags on it
and it's like this is just someone's cat or like you know like I feel like that's what she's doing.
Someone's cat's getting double dinners now because you're I have to protect it.
Sorry. Like, you know, I don't know, I you know, find something else to do. All right, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
Maybe I mean hire this woman to give it like it's real food or something so she doesn't like she clearly needs something to do.
If I'm the owner of the horse, I'm not paying this woman anything to do anything. No,
get her out. Just work it into the diet.
Strongly get her out.
Just work it into the diet and be like, they're gonna get a couple carrots today.
Allow for carrots. That's carrots you don't need to buy.
And
Patty is not having it. He's like, get this woman.
Get off my property. Quit. Don't call
leave my horse alone.
Don't call the horse cops on me. Like, thank you.
Yeah, beat so that's it. What
hit
they
the
did.
Bricks, lady.
I think they said that she's now, you know, there's a restraining order against her from the horse for its health sake, which I think is still like, this is obnoxious, but it's also it's carrots.
You're
like,
being annoying. No, being annoying is illegal.
It is. Like, we call it other things, but it's like, if it's a charge like this that would absolutely not be pursued in any other case, it's like, this is the cost of being annoying. That is your real error here.
You're being obnoxious. And then...
Lay off. I'm submitting you the sentence of lay off.
Right.
Get out of here.
This is only the second time this grandma's ever been to court in her life. The first was in 2005 when she was convicted of assaulting her brother with 3 sticks of rhubarb in an unrelated family spat.
What is going on in the Dales? This is the Dales news.
I mean, she very much sounds like someone who does not know when to let something go. Because I think that she, like her brother, she now has a restraining order against her from like her brother and a horse for... She hit her brother in the eye with some rhubarb.
She was trying to feed the brother the rhubarb. She was like, you're not eating. You're skin and bones. And he was like, stop feeding me this rhubarb. And she just
whacked him with some spicy sticks.
Yeah. I mean, rhubarb to the eye sounds very unpleasant. I'll say that.
That's right.
Not great.
Sticks of it? Yeah, you're not eating sticks of it. That's no good. That's not. That's not an appealing food.
That's what happened.
What in the world?
That was a grape lady, right? That's what I was.
I think it was a grape lady.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Ow, 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 ow.
Ow, ow, ow. Yeah, so I don't know. Put this lady in the Pirates of the Caribbean jail or whatever. I don't know. Get her out of here. No.
Don't put her in the that's the famously easy to escape jail.
Well, she'd have to
get it set up.
It's true.
There are worse crimes.
Bye-bye.
I mean, put her in the easy to escape jail. Should we do number one?
Yeah.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
So this was submitted to us by a bunch of people. The Ginger Bussy Man, chief among them, and then followed by a bunch of other people, which, by the way, I did not say. If you would like to submit your own story to have us talk about, you can join our Patreon, patreon.com/whatatimepod at the $10 level. And get access to our private Discord channels where you can submit stories. We also have a $5 tier where you get an extra bonus episode every week. This week we will be talking about the Army stealing the Navy's mascot goat. Animal hijinks ensue. There's a New York Times article about it, so I assume it will be like 20 pages long about this this caper. But anyway, what we have for number one today is a bunch of people submitted this. It's not... There's not a lot to it, but what's there is striking. I get why it was submitted to us. Apparently, on a Delta flight that traveled
to
Syracuse,
Delta?
New York. This is on Delta. Wait, does that surprise you?
Yeah. I mean, I expected Spirit, Southwest. This is some... This is not Delta shit, in my opinion.
This is some Fenghua bus shit, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is some...
This is...
Eli thought it would be one of the airlines where you pay to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. The one.
Bing bong.
It's the same thing if you've been like, so this happened in first class. I'd be like, did it? I would be very surprised.
So, it's traveling from Syracuse, New York to Atlanta, Georgia. And the only evidence of this is like this like flight log looking thing where they like enter sort of what's going on. I guess it looks like they were... getting somebody to meet this person at the gate when they landed to suffer some unspecified consequence.
This is in the black box.
This is what is recorded on the black box.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this. They do like a captain's log, like in Star Trek, on every flight.
Yeah. So yeah, just imagine William Shatner dictating this, I guess. So what happened, it says requesting red coat meet AC, which I think means like get somebody over here when we get here.
They're bringing the damn
red
British.
Coat. Yeah,
they're
red
bringing
coats.
The British in.
Was that British Airways police? What is happening?
It's Royal Canadian Mounted Police. They
better not
run.
Be quartering any troops.
Yeah, bring the damn lobsters in. We got a
criminal. That's what was happening. The passenger was quartering troops, which is unconstitutional.
We've discovered there's a debtor on board. Bring the red coats.
So they requested a red coat because a passenger on this flight was breastfeeding her cat and would not put the cat back in its carrier when the flight attendant requested.
Yeah.
So, ma'am, could you put your cat away? I guess that's like, you just skip over the real, like... Having the cat out is bad enough, but you're skipping over the most egregious part of the problem because you don't even want to vocalize what it is. Yeah. You don't want to like speak that into.
Can you like pull your shirt down and also
white folks
just put the cat
losing their mind?
Yeah,
yeah. So they just went, "Can you put the cat away?" And she was like, "No."
Hey, could you make it so that your cat is further away from your nipple, please?
How do you even get a cat to breastfeed? Like they have sharp
teeth. Yeah, it would hurt. It seems.
I mean, I guess if they never lose that instinct from kittenhood, but yeah, that's not.
Well, that's. I mean, that's the thing. That's the history that comes with this. Is it's like you would just be like, oh, this is someone doing something weird on a plane. But yeah, if the cat is just like trained to latch, this person breastfeeds their cat. Like
that, this person regularly, like several times a day, breastfeeds their cat.
Right, like a cat's not going to know what that is if it's the first time you do it. It's like, hey, oh yeah, I guess you're thirsty. Hang on a sec here. I'm not going to ask the flight attendants for milk.
This is not somebody like fixing a problem in a pinch. That's not what's going on here at all.
Like,
oh, I already used up my one free drink, so I'm not gonna pay $4 or whatever.
Also milk the lack bad of... for cats, not good for cats. I don't know about human milk, but cow's milk is not
human
good for cats.
Milk.
I can't imagine human milk is better.
I can. You saying human milk made me immediately realize why we call it breast milk and not human milk.
Yeah.
Oh, were you raising your baby on human milk? Like, oh. But yeah, like the absolute lack of shame to do this too, where it's like, okay, you're some weirdo who breastfeeds their cat or whatever. Just pump for like this is a prime time to just pump. Like,
there were so many ways to avoid this problem. I mean, obviously the main one is don't do this. Don't breastfeed your cat.
That's a big one.
But I mean, that's the main one. But as Eli's saying, even if you're like, I refuse to do that, there is still another solution you can take for bringing your cat on a plane and not having to do this. Like,
it would be
it
would be funny though if the cat was like huge. Like, they were like, it's working. That cat is like massive.
This cat is upsettingly powerful. Like,
okay, so my
what's its I've been coat getting my... like? How shiny is it? You know?
Hello, so I've been breastfeeding my cat and now it has thumbs. What is the next step here? What's going
on? It's not even a house cat. It's like a Fisher cat or like a bobcat. It's like a, like a wild
it's a
animal.
Lynx. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, this is like, look, we're going to keep doing this until he tells me to stop. You know what I mean? Like those mothers that like do their toddlers. And it's like, well, he's never going to tell you because he can't speak. So you've created a hack around that.
This is another wrinkle in this story that I think is very funny. Apparently, it was a hairless cat.
Oh,
so,
no. It's one of those sphinxes.
This is my son. He's very sick.
That's the thing. From the distance, that kind of looks like a baby. If you swaddle it up, it does sort of look like a fucked up baby. Yeah. So it's like, at what point do you like take the chance where you're like, okay, no, that's not a baby.
Yeah, because first you're looking at it and you're like, well, he needs all the help he can get. That baby's not looking good.
This kid's messed up.
His tail looks so unhealthy.
I just watched the Seinfeld where they go see the baby and it's really ugly. And I'm just thinking about that. Where
I was saying,
of luck to you.
I was saying to my mom, my sister's wedding, I was like, well, is Willie going to be there? And she's like, well, no, there's no dogs allowed. I was like, just put him in some clothes and be like, this is my son. He has an illness. And see what happens.
This is my son, dog boy.
This is my human son. I'm sorry. Are you saying this is not my son? Are you accusing me of something here? And he's just sitting there. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So I guess that's like kind of how this woman got away with it for a minute, is that like it was swaddled up in a blanket and it sort of looked like a baby. And then they were like, wait a minute. That is absolutely not a human.
It was like, hey,
Bat Boy from the Weekly World News.
Yeah, they're like, hey, lady, either you're breastfeeding a cat or that's Nightcrawler. And either way, we're going to have to do something about it.
Yeah, no, we're calling the authorities because you have a changeling. You have been a victim of the fairies, victim of the fae. They have swapped your son.
It's like a turnip. Yeah, they pour milk on a turnip and it's now, you think it's your son.
Yeah, well, you can keep, but you're going to need to put some iron on it. You need to press some cast iron onto your son's skin so that we can verify that it's not a changeling.
Yeah.
There's not.
It's the only way
out. And
this
makes a lot of sense because there's been elves on the wing. So this is really, they're trying to get it back.
You guys know, Bat Boy actually turns 40 next year. So that's interesting.
Oh, wow.
There's Batman.
He's like kind of around our age.
Yeah, born in 82. Yeah.
Bat Boy is a millennial. That's interesting.
Elder millennial.
I know everyone here joins me in wishing you a very happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Bat Boy.
Yeah, Bat Boy won't get off his damn phone.
Now, I'm a little confused because Bat Boy made his debut in the Weekly World News in 1992, so when he was 10. But he looks like a baby.
He was fully a boy.
It looks like a baby.
Well, he looks like a bat.
I mean, he's got some stuff going on with him. Like,
yeah,
he's got some stuff.
I would have thought Bat Boy was like a baby.
See, I had the opposite thing. I assumed Bat Boy was an adult because it would be cruel to put a child through that.
But well, he had all his teeth. Like... So I was like, he's got to be kind
of
old.
Yeah, he had very sharp teeth.
Boss Baby vibes from this.
Yeah, that's right. Boss Baby vibes.
Boss Baby. Boss Baby.
I was,
yeah.
Terrifying.
That was, I mean, I think some, you know, that was clearly like a bit by the crowd, and whoever started it, good for them. But it was still upsetting to see.
It was very weird to witness. I know they're absolutely like having a good, like they know it's funny, but it is still like very weird to witness.
Oh man, it was so, I was watching, I think it was like Thanksgiving night or something, and I was watching the local news, and they were talking about, apparently there's a shortage of like mall Santas. I don't know if it's just around the DC area or everywhere, but they had to, so they were reporting on it, but it wasn't late
they
enough
all
to keep like,
sorry,
it wasn't late enough that like they were sure that kids would be asleep. So it was so funny the way they had to like, they were like, there's a shortage of Santa lookalikes. Like they couldn't say there weren't Santas because they had to like established that there was still a Santa Claus.
Early enough in the evening that...
Yeah, they were like, as everyone knows, a common job is for actors who look like Santa Claus to, you know, they're like, people who resemble old Saint Nick, the guy who's very much real and lives in the North Pole.
Yeah.
It was...
Yeah. It's like, I know you're not Santa, I know you work for him. It's like when Kevin talks to the Santa and gets the Tic Tacs in Home Alone, kind of towards the end.
And then it was the DC local news, so they were like, hopefully more Santas will come out of their workshop. Anyways, a baby got dropped down a trash chute in Southeast. It's like, Jesus Christ. The fuck, man. Very sad.
Merry Christmas to one and all.
So, this lady is probably not super well, it would seem. Call the call the white coats, right, folks? Not the red coats. I'm not sure. They have white coats on that they can just call. That would be there.
I kind of hope not.
What do you do with the custody of this?
I kind of hope they can't just strap you to a gurney in the airport. give you ECT in some back room. I hope that they don't have white coats there. That would be bad. Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
You can't take the pet. If you get the pet on the flight, the pet's got to stay in the carrier. So they're smart to find an actual rule that's being broken, because I don't know if there is an FAA rule about breastfeeding animals. There probably is not. So
no FAA rule about just being a freak in the air, just freaking everybody out.
There's just a catch-all rule. Stop that.
Yeah.
If you're asked to stop that, you have to stop.
You're being weird. That's the last rule we have. Being upsetting people. Stop.
It's kind of the unwritten rule at the airport now. Like, you can't, if you're being weird, you will get like swatted. So don't be weird there. We don't know how this is terrorism, but we know it's something suspicious. And
you're acting unusual.
Like we're 5 miles in the air, we're in a tube. No one on this plane except for the pilot probably can explain how it's staying in the air. So let's all relax. Can we just be cool for a little bit?
Oh, it's a difference in air pressure. All right. You might as well just say magic. I don't care.
Don't worry about it.
Get me to Buffalo.
Not my problem.
Not my problem until it is my problem. Very much so my problem.
Yeah, that's like, the thing in old movies where they're like, does anyone know how to fly a plane? Like, forget that. Just literally, like, does anyone know how planes work? And everyone would still be like, can anyone here explain a plane to me? Like, no, I don't.
Just like mouthing off to the pilot. That sounds like a YP. All right. So.
Yeah, just heckling when they say there's going to be turbulence. It's like, not my problem. Not my issue. Figure it out. Yeah. Anyway, plugs time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plugs, 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 plugs.
Everybody! Bing bong. Plugs. Hey, patreon.com/whatatimepod. That's what Kath said before. That's the best way to support the show. We like making the show. We like it that people support the show. So, hey, hop to it.
Subscribe to the Patreon and make it less embarrassing for us to tell our parents we have to go into our childhood bedrooms.
That's true. And it's, tomorrow's Giving Tuesday. So give to us, Just a thought. So, lots of stuff on there. Bonus episodes. live show video. We got multiple commentary tracks, Fate of the Furious, Roadhouse. We got Death Nut Challenge. We're going to be doing some more live streams once everybody's kind of better situated. Just some various hangout stuff. That'll be fun. And that's going to be for patrons only. So, yeah. And then you also get a discount on live show tickets as well as no shipping, which I said again. I was trying not to say it. Free shipping on shipping. The merch, at, which is at page whatatimepod.bigcartel.com. I'm falling apart here. And, yeah, so free shipping. Lots of stuff to check out and listen to and watch. Yes, patreon.com/whatatimepod. If you're at the $10 level, as Kat said, you can submit to the Discord, which is where we source a lot of our stuff, and we get to say your various fun names on the show. So, yeah. We are whatatimepod on Instagram, whatatimepod on Twitter, whatatimepodcast@gmail.com, and I'm Patty Moe and all the stuff. I don't think I have anything else to plug, so that's it.
I have a live show on December 10th at 10 p.m. at Secret Loft with Ballin' Out Super's Alex Patak and Simone Norman, who has non-podcast real television credits, but I can't remember what they are at the moment. Yeah, Joe Firestone, who was up recently on our live show, is going to be on it, along with a bunch of other wonderful people. And that's my show Paid Protest, which I used to run. It's coming back. It's a benefit show for New York City DSA, and it's a lot of fun. So come to that. I have another podcast called Lie, Cheat, and Steal. If you'd like to hear more about that maple syrup reserve, we have an episode about that, about Lie, Cheat, on Lie, Cheat, and Steal. It's a true crime podcast about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters. We just released a Patreon-only episode about NFTs, so check that out. And I'm Kath Barbadoro on social media.
I got nothing. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye.
Bye.